Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our glorious Lord and only Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, have you ever stopped to notice how often the process of evaluation is a part of our regular, ordinary lives? When I was trying to find a dentist down in the Petaluma area, I ended up visiting two different dental offices. Not long after each of those visits, both of those dentists sent me an email with a survey attached. They wanted me to evaluate my visit to their office. A similar thing happened a couple of months ago when I went for a medical procedure down at Santa Rosa Memorial. The email and the evaluation that the hospital sent to me was much more extensive. If you go to McDonald's or to Burger King or even to the post office, very often the receipt that they give you has a website, and they ask you to go to that website and evaluate your visit. On the flip side of that very same coin, we are often evaluated by others, aren't we? If you are in school, or if you can remember when you were in school, students are evaluated on a regular basis. Every time they take a test, every time they turn in a paper, every time they receive their report card, they are being evaluated. And for some people, their employer automatically evaluates them on an annual basis. They might be evaluated on the basis of their performance, their attendance, their communication, or their teamwork, how they are able to work with the other people in the office. As much as the evaluation process is indeed a regular part of our normal everyday lives, we all understand that there are some evaluations that are far more important than others, aren't there? For example, I don't want to sound disrespectful in any way, shape, or form, but evaluating how friendly your server is when they bring you your hamburger and your Diet Coke, to me, that's just not as important as evaluating our elected public officials so that we know how to vote accordingly. As we turn our attention today to this portion of Mark chapter 7, we have the opportunity to look at an evaluation. It is the evaluation that the people gave to Jesus and to his work. With that in mind, let's study our text for today under the theme, the most important evaluation of all. There are two things we want to look at today. First of all, let's look at the evaluation that the people gave to Jesus here in Mark chapter 7. And then, let's take a moment to look at the evaluation that we are giving to Jesus in our lives today. It's obvious from the opening portion of our text that the people in the area of the Decapolis had either seen or at the very least heard about the healing power of this rabbi from Nazareth. Therefore, when they heard that Jesus was now in their area, Mark tells us, some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged him to place his hand on the man. Notice the confidence, my friends, that these people had in the healing power of Jesus. They begged him to simply place his hand on this man, fully confident, fully expecting that this deaf man who could hardly speak would be instantly healed. And what did Jesus do? How did Jesus respond to their request, to their begging? Unlike so many of the so-called miracle workers today, who seem to be interested in seeking the spotlight for themselves and gaining the attention and the offerings of others, we're told that Jesus took this man aside, away from the crowd, away from the spotlight. To me, this highlights the deep compassion and the personal concern that Jesus has for each and every individual who comes to him seeking his help. Now, could Jesus have simply placed his hand on this man and he would have been instantly healed? Could Jesus have very simply spoken two little words, "Be healed," And this man would have been able to speak clearly and hear plainly? Of course he could. But what did Jesus do? Mark tells us, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. Then he spit and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven with a deep sigh and said to him, Ephphatha, which means be opened. At this, the man's ears were opened, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. I think that the manner in which Jesus healed this man was directly related to this man's personal situation. Imagine what it must have been like for this deaf man to be brought to Jesus. Since he was deaf, did he even know where these people were taking him and why? Since he was deaf, did he even know what his friends were begging Jesus to do for him? Since he did not know what was going on, I think the fact that Jesus healed this man the way he did was indeed directly related to the fact that he could not hear and he could not speak. By placing his fingers into this man's ears, Jesus was personally communicating with him what he was about to do. By taking some spittle, which was actually considered a curative in this day and age, and placing that on the man's tongue, Jesus was clearly communicating with him what he was about to do. And by looking up to heaven and sighing, Jesus was clearly communicating with this man that the healing he was about to receive was indeed a gracious gift from God. With that, let's turn now to the truth that I hope each and every one of us take home with us today. What kind of evaluation did the people here in Mark chapter 7 give to Jesus and his work? Mark reveals that evaluation to us when he says, people were overwhelmed with amazement. He has done everything well. And that could be translated, he has done everything correctly, they said. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. The people's positive evaluation of Jesus is certainly not difficult for us to understand, is it? After all, they just witnessed him performing this great and glorious miracle. But since the people's evaluation of Jesus was indeed so powerful and so positive, why are we told that Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone? The reason for this command, my friends, was due to the fact that Jesus did not want to be known. Jesus did not want to be seen simply as a miracle worker. While Jesus' compassion for people such as this man here in our text led our Savior to heal his physical problem, that is not the main reason why our Lord came into our world. Jesus' ability and Jesus' compassion to miraculously heal all physical ailments such as being deaf or blind or mute were specifically designed to reveal to the people that Jesus is indeed the fulfillment of the words of the prophets concerning what the work of the Messiah would be about, such as we heard in our Old Testament lesson from Isaiah today. Then the eyes of the blind will be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shout for joy. All of Jesus' miracles were specifically designed to prove that he is the eternal Son of God and this world's only Savior from sin. It's glorious. As wonderful, as awesome as it was that Jesus healed people such as this man here in our text, it all pales in comparison, my friends. It all pales in comparison to the spiritual healing that Jesus has secured for all the world, including you and me. From our vantage point as the New Testament children of God, we are now able to look back through the pages of Scripture, and we can see the entire ministry of our dear Lord and Savior. In a relatively short amount of time, we can read the Bible's account of Jesus' birth, his life, his death, his physical resurrection from the dead, as well as his ascension into heaven. Over the course of just one worship service, we are not only reminded of the amazing grace that led Jesus to take all of our guilt and all of our sin upon himself, carry it to the cross on Calvary's Hill, where he willingly endured the punishment that we deserve. But during the course of that very same worship service, we are assured that purely by grace, through faith in what God has done for us, his holiness and his righteousness is given to us as a free gift from God so that we can live forever in our Heavenly Father's kingdom. If we were asked to give an evaluation of Jesus, if we were asked to give an evaluation of Jesus' work on our behalf, all we would need to do is to lift up our eyes to this cross, and we would be able to echo the evaluation that is recorded here in our text. He has done everything well. He has done everything correctly. When you and I are sitting here in God's house with our brothers and sisters in the faith, that's a very easy evaluation to give, isn't it? But what about last week when we were out with our friends? What about tomorrow when we go back to work or go back to school or go back to our everyday lives? What kind of evaluation of Jesus and his work do we express outside of this building? Our evaluation of Jesus and our evaluation of his work now includes remembering that now that Jesus' work of redemption is finished, now that God's plan of salvation for this world is completely revealed to us right here on the pages of his holy word, now Jesus no longer asks us to be quiet about who he is and what he has done for us. Now our Savior commands us to go. Go and make disciples of all nations by faithfully proclaiming his holy word and by faithfully administering his holy sacraments. Now our Savior commands us, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now our Savior commands us, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Hardly a day goes by, my friends, when we are not evaluating someone else or when someone else is not evaluating us. It is because of that reality that it's easy for us to understand there are some evaluations that are simply more important than others. And because of that, it's not difficult for us to take that truth and apply it to ourselves as brothers and sisters in Christ. Every single time we gather together here in God's house, we are expressing our evaluation of Jesus and what Jesus has done for us. Every time we place our offerings on his altar, we are expressing our evaluation of Jesus and what Jesus has done for us. Every time we follow our Lord's command and share our faith with people around us, we are expressing our evaluation of Jesus and what Jesus has done for us. Every time we stand up for the truth of Scripture, every time we refuse to apologize when the unbelieving world calls us intolerant, every single time we joyfully explain to someone that we attend this church because this church faithfully proclaims God's holy word without adding to it and without subtracting from it. Every single time, my friends, we are expressing our evaluation of Jesus and what Jesus has done for us. But let's not forget that perhaps, just perhaps, the most important evaluation of all is the one that might be the easiest to overlook. The way in which we live our life out there, in the real world is indeed an expression of our evaluation of Jesus and what Jesus has done for us. My prayer then this morning is that sometime today, after you get home from church, you will find a little bit of quiet time. Take a little quiet time, sit down with a cup of coffee or a glass of juice, and evaluate your evaluation of Jesus. In other words, how would someone else describe your evaluation of Jesus by simply listening to the way that you speak or watching the way that you live? May God grant that the cross of Jesus Christ will be so central in your heart and so central in your life that both your personal, private, as well as your public evaluation of Jesus will loudly proclaim, "He has done everything well. He has done everything correctly." To God be the glory. Amen.